Hello and welcome to the Loose Forward Podcast.
I'm Andy.
I'm Bobby.
And we're all about Rugby League,
the M62, and beyond.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, by that intro, you'll have now discovered everyone switched off because we're one down.
But everyone switched back on because I'm here.
And we've got stats.
Woohoo!
So Callum's missing.
He is.
Because?
Work incident.
Yeah, he's got. Well, no, what it is, someone's been off sick at work, and he's had to cover, hasn't he?
Yes.
And to be fair, the one who's off sick has more time off than like a doctor's surgery, doesn't he?
Good one, I like that.
He does, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he definitely does.
So Callum's had to work, unfortunately.
Yes, he has.
And he's not here, so we will carry the podcast valiantly this week, Bobbles.
We will. On our backs.
Yeah, on our backs. But the good news is we've still got stats.
We have, absolutely.
Okay, good. Now then, what's been happening to you this week? Did you watch anything at weekend?
Just being forced to watch it count?
Go on. Well, what did you watch?
I had to watch Eurovision.
You see, I disagree now because you've been to watch about 16 musicals, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think you were forced to watch. Forced is in inverted commas here, isn't it?
No. No, I definitely didn't want to watch it. But
who was your favourite act?
In what?
In the Eurovision.
None of them.
Rubbish.
On it, all of them were rubbish. Didn't understand it. One guy from Finland was dressed in green spikes and nearly won. I turned the subtitles on. He's singing about a tractor.
Was he from Norwich?
No, Finland. Honestly, it was rubbish.
Okay.
I will not be tuning in again next year. I will make sure I'm out of the house for it because ain't happening.
We'll see. We'll bookmark this on the pod and we'll see next year if you tune in.
Fine.
Because I think you will be doing, I'll be honest. In the meantime, you'll have been to see Book of Mormon, Six Wives as Henry VIII.
Already seen that one.
Everything. So let's see.
I don't mind a good musical from time to time.
You got any booked in?
No, not currently.
Okay, well, let's see. Any suggestions for Bobby with his musicals, please? Well, please let us know. I'm sure you're booking.
Bri can't join in, though, because he's still trying to play bingo.
That's true, yeah.
So he can't suggest any.
That's true. Anyway, what have we got on tonight?
So we have our round 12 of Super League review. We have my stats of the week, as already mentioned. Then we're going to go for a trip down under to the NRL. That was a bit rubbish, that, sorry.
Mm.
That was a bit lame. We've got, we're going to briefly mention about the World Cup.
Mm.
And I believe we're in for a treat.
Go on.
I believe we've got a special. I believe we've got, even though Callum is not here, I believe we've got a red corner.
I'm the substitute red corner.
The red corner is on.
And I'm the substitute.
That buzzer has got dust on it where it's been not been pressed.
Well, we'll come on to that.
Well, we've got the red corner. We're going to quickly, and then we're going to have Brian with us for a Predictions League update and a run through of this week's Challenge Cup fixtures and who will make the quarterfinals.
Okie dokie.
So, it's time for this.
There's so much to love about rugby league in this part of the world, and more than just the pork rolls at Warrington and the pies at Wigan. There's tradition and history and great grounds and great fans. And then there's the weather. And if you don't like it, well, you just have to put up with it. Tough titties.
Is that not just still like your favourite buzzer?
No, I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Do you know what? It just reminds me of the time that every time we play it, it just reminds me of when we met Andrew Voss at the semi-finals of the World Cup.
What a nice guy.
Yeah. Even if he'd make us pose like a boy band for the photo.
He did actually, didn't he? Yeah, I remember that now, yeah. Boy band pose, yeah.
Yeah.
He knew who we were.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, where do you want to start with this week then?
Okay, well, let's head over to Warrington, where we saw them in a top of the table class, well, top three class, should we say, and it was Warrington 21, Hull KR 14.
Who'd have thought would have been saying that 12 months ago? Top of the table clash.
I know.
So credit to both teams there.
Yeah, definitely.
21-14 for Warrington. I didn't really know what to expect from this game. And then Hull KR suddenly 12-0 up.
Mm. Yeah, they got a couple of I think it was a couple of quick tries. Not, I think they took a while to score in the actual game itself. But yeah, though, they were the good. I don't know what to. I still don't know. I have much words for this game.
Well, Warrington got back on terms either side of half time. Josh Maguire scored, and then Ben Curry went in a lovely dummy.
Yes, it was. Yes,
and made it 12-all, and then it stayed like that until pretty much the last 10 minutes. And then there was a killer 5 minutes between 69 and 74 minutes. It was a killer for OKR.
Mm.
They got pinged with a penalty.
Yes.
That Ratchford then scored.
Yes.
To make it 14-12. 16-14.
Yep.
Then they scored in the corner. I think it was Thewlis might have scored.
Ashton, I think it was.
One of the wingers scored. And then Williams got the drop goal.
Yes, he
and
did.
And that put it beyond reach. And the penalty was the...
Was it a high shot?
Yeah, there was a killer 5 minutes for Hull KR that cost them. And if you think about it, there was a killer 10 minutes because they had a killer 5 minutes there where they conceded 7 points, and there was a killer 10 minutes either side of half time where they conceded the other 12.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So it was I think on that one, I think there was just a little bit of lack of concentration probably over those few minutes from OKR.
Yeah.
But they've got to be pleased with where they are at the minute, though.
Oh, no, absolutely. They're doing phenomenal. But do you think this is these kind of games are where they'll miss Jordan Abdul?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But do you know what? They're not far away, even without Abdul, on this performance.
No, you're right.
And I think after Warrington's last couple of losses against Wigan and St Helens, I think it was important for them to win against a top three or four team.
Yes.
And they've done that, and I think they've broke through that again, and again, still getting things together, having a really good season. So, yeah.
And to come back from 12-0 down against a top three side, as we've already said, is, you know, good for them, because they just, when they went two scores down to St Helens and two score down to Wigan, they just didn't look anywhere near getting back into the game.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. It's difficult. 21-14, top three clash, and there's not a lot of words to say about it, really.
No.
But just, I think we're just good, old-fashioned, tough rugby league, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. Well, moving on to the other side of Hull. They visited Wakefield, and it's still not good for Wakefield fans. They went down 26-6 at the hands of the Black and Whites.
And again, only scored again in the last 10 minutes or so, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I thought they were in for another nil-in for your stats section.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on it. I might, if it keeps going the way I'm going, then...
But they're woeful in attack, aren't they?
And defence.
Yeah. I mean, Hull, is that three in a row?
Three in a row for Hull.
And, you know, you can only beat what's in front of you, but they've had a couple of good wins, and then this one where they probably expected to win.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, well, you know, that's really good. A couple of things off this, though. When are we going to see Luke Gale?
I don't know. It seems... I asked the question last week, didn't I? And yourself and Callum both said maybe needs time for that fitness and, you know, stepping back up into the league, but you'd think 2 weeks as a signing to sort of save your season, if you will.
So, especially I would have thought in this game, where you would have thought they might have earmarked this one a few weeks ago as a game that they could actually win.
Mm.
And, you know, and again, I think I just think, same with the Challenge Cup game. I think they've got Lee in the Challenge Cup, and you think, well, actually, they might quite fancy that, even though Lee are playing really well.
Yeah,
but Wakefield themselves might quite fancy it. And yeah. I don't understand why, unless he's... But they haven't said he's carrying any sort of injury, have they?
No, they haven't. He was playing for Keighley. There was no...
I was going to say he's played the majority of the season before that. So
there was no knock, so...
don't quite understand what's going on.
No, I don't.
Because when he signed, I thought, oh, that's a interesting signing.
Mm.
A lot of furore about it, and now nothing.
Mm.
I don't know. So it's I just wonder when we're going to see him.
It's a bit of a sinking ship at Wakefield at the minute. They've lost their assistant coach as well this week, haven't they?
Sinking ship. It's like the Titanic. It's at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, yeah, but yeah, he was only last week saying we're all in it together, and now he's director of rugby at Featherstone. So
yeah. I think if anything summed this game up, it was the Scott Taylor try in the last minute.
Oh, that was woeful.
Two things on that. One, it cost me a spot on the prediction league. And give it to Bri. Right? Outrageous. And two, he seemed to be held up for about 5 seconds and then just went, now.
Yeah. Terrible. I've criticised and I've criticised all season their defence. And the other one that summed it up for me was the Tuma Vaavi try.
Mm.
They broke free, they threw it around, and somehow they scrambled back, and then he seems to stroll through about 4 or 5 players and not a single one touches him. I'm how are you doing this?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There seems to be a growing sort of opinion, doesn't there, that Wakefield are sort of accepting this relegation, but we'll get a Super League place on the fact that they're building the ground and they've got all the stuff for IMG.
Yep.
And they'll get a franchise.
Yep.
But they're not really bothered about going down this season because and it makes you wonder whether they've been given some sort of assurance or some sort of nod to go, listen, carry on the way you're doing off the field and everything, and
yeah,
be okay. You know, I don't know.
Maybe I'm not sure on that, but yeah, I know what you mean. It doesn't look too good for them at the minute, but, you know, the thing is surely, even if someone turns around to you and says, look, whatever happens, you've got your franchise, where's your personal pride?
Mm.
Where's your drive? Where's your professionalism as a rugby league player to go out there and win for your fans who spend their hard-earned money watching you up and down the country every week?
Totally agree, because The attack is woeful.
Yeah.
It's just... One-man rugby is being kind.
Yeah.
And, you know, they need to... just don't look like scoring double figures every week, do they, you know?
No. And, you know, they've got some good quality and they've got some experienced Super League players in that team that should not be doing this week in, week out.
With over half a season to go, do you think they're dead and buried in that last place?
Yeah. I said it from the start.
Even though they're only 4 points behind Castleford?
Yeah. Said it from the start.
Okay,
very good. And, yeah. And I said to you midweek, and I stand by it, and I'll say it now, the only way that Wakefield are going to get any points this season is if they happen to play the Challenge Cup winners the week before the final, or after it, or somewhere within that time frame, because I just do not see them winning a game.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to the team you have just mentioned, who are 4 points above Wakefield. They had a bit of an odd scoreline, actually, I suppose you could say. 22-46, Castleford and Catalan. Catalan coming away with the victory in that one.
No, it's not odd. Castleford are pathetic.
Fair enough.
In this game, Castleford were pathetic.
Fair enough.
Right, it's not an odd scoreline. 22-46, right? It was 34-6 at half time. Mm. They didn't start playing until they were 46-12 down and got a couple of late tries to make it look as though they've had some sort of fight back.
Yeah, true.
But they haven't. They were pathetic. And some of the tries in that first half that Catalan scored, I mean, they were getting booed every try by the Castleford faithful there, because it was woeful. Do you know what? I've watched... Did you see the first try? Desiree.
Is that the one where he just literally
kicks it and then somebody else touches it and somebody... I've watched it about 20 times and can't work out how he ends up with the ball in his hand. Because you only see it from the one angle.
Yeah, you do,
yeah. And I can't work out how he's actually ended up with it. And that sort of set the tone for the game, really. But I thought they were pathetic. Catalans went through some sort of training exercise and planned moves because nobody laid a hand on Mitchell Pearce and Sam Tompkins all day.
Yeah.
And they were brilliant, the half-back combination. Both of them were fantastic in this game. They're handing near enough every try, but had the freedom of the ground to do it in.
Yeah.
And you can't give players of that quality that much time and space.
No, you can't, but you've got to say that even though he's coming towards the end of his career, Catalans look a totally different team with Tompkins on the field.
I think it's just, I think when you've got a player that's been that good, and then they get to the end of their career, they end up playing a different way.
Mm.
So particularly like, let's say they've had a lot of pace earlier on in their career.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become a bit more astute in tactically in the way that they play, and they sort of guide the team around and feed off them. And I think that happens in quite a lot of sports. And I think that's what you're seeing in Sam Tompkins now, that he's this elder statesman of the team.
Mm.
But everything just clicks around him. And I think that's what you're seeing with that.
Yeah, I agree. I know exactly where you're coming from.
But Castleford, they're getting worse every week.
Yeah.
I can't understand. I mean, we have Cas fans that listen to us, okay? And we have a couple that really interact with us. And I can't understand why they would be happy that Andy Last got the job on a full-time basis.
No, I still baffle myself about that one, I'll be honest with you. Usually, let's say majority of the time, let's take Wakefield, for example. Wakefield, last season or the season before, they weren't doing too well. Willie Poaching comes in, and all of a sudden they win, I think, about 11 games, or he won 11 out of 12 games or something,
yeah,
didn't
something
he?
Something silly, yeah.
It was something like that. Andy Last comes in at Castleford, and all of a sudden, he hasn't changed anything. They're still losing. They've not gone on a mad winning streak. They've not gone 5 out of 5 or 3 out of 5 or whatever. His record is still poor. So if the players aren't responding to the new coach, and still, surely then that tells you, actually, let's not hire this guy. Let's go somewhere else. Mm. Does it not?
Have they won a game yet since he's been in charge? Because Radford left, didn't he? And then...
Yes, they beat Wakefield.
Oh, yeah, of course they did, 16-4. Yeah, because they only won one under Radford. That was against Leeds.
Yes.
And then he comes in as caretaker, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Right? And let's be honest, he was a pretty rubbish caretaker, yeah. Really.
Yeah, he was.
The worst caretaker since Ian Huntley. Are we allowed to say that? No?
I'll
maybe edit that.
Yeah, I'm about to edit that one.
But no, he was terrible. And then they give him the job full time, and it just doesn't improve, does it?
No, and surely,
and it's actually getting worse.
Yeah, no, it is. It's getting beyond. You know. I've said it before, and I know it applies to a few teams. I know Hull have started to try and turn their season around a little bit now. But if it wasn't for Wakefield, Cass would be in serious, serious trouble as well.
Mm.
Or if it was even the old system of two relegated, you'd be in trouble.
Oh, massive, massive.
So, moving on, we head to probably a scoreline that not many people saw coming, but maybe not the result either. Huddersfield 4, Lee 30.
I didn't see this coming because I thought they'd get a response, and I thought Huddersfield would turn the tables after they read. But now I get the feeling more and more that Ian Watson is losing the dressing room there.
Yeah.
Particularly after his... not even veiled criticism, it was very open criticism of Jermaine McGilvery.
Actually,
a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
he was just saying he wasn't in the team and he wasn't good enough, this, that, and the other. And he knows what, you know, he was very sort of, very critical of Jermaine McGilvin. Oh, okay. And the way that he did it, I thought he could have done that behind closed doors instead of going out to the press and doing it.
Yeah, okay.
And we've said before about Watson that he's quite Teflon, isn't he? Nothing seems to stick to him. It's everybody else's fault.
Yeah.
But I thought they were going to get a response, and they were 30-0 down in the game.
Yeah, they only scored with about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, Kevin Nagama scored, didn't he, with a couple of minutes to go.
Yeah, that was right, yeah.
And then there was some sort of fight between Ben Reynolds and Jake Connor in the tunnel or something.
Oh, I didn't see this.
Maybe you should have put a bit more fight on the pitch, Connor. Do you think?
Yeah.
You know. A couple of things on this that I did notice. Yeah.
Go on.
Ian Watson said things went against them. Lollahila was then, to make it worse, was tackled one-on-one to give the try away. What was that about? He didn't get tackled one-on-one. He just threw it to him.
Yeah, that was true, yeah.
To Mella. There you go.
Have a try.
Exactly. I do think that Leeds' backline, in terms of Super League standard, is pretty good.
It is. I underestimated Lee a lot this year, and they have proven a lot of people wrong. And if you look, I mean, who's that back line?
They've got O'Brien, Briscoe, Lutelli and Hardacre, Charnley, Reynolds and Lamb.
Yeah,
that's the seven. That's their back line that played last week.
Yeah,
and do you know what I think? That's a pretty good back line, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
It's got a mixture of experience, cleverness, skill, and speed.
Yeah. And you've got a good hooker in Edwin Epape.
Right. Did you see the break he made?
Yes.
Early on. He runs like Erling Haaland.
I'll have to rewatch this now.
If you're listening to this and you're not noticing, watch the run he makes, right? Because he seems to like drive his knees upwards. Right, he's got these long, like, loping strides, like, sprinting away. Honestly, I'm thinking, like, he looks like some sort of Papua New Guinea and Erling Haaland.
Got to watch this now.
Watch it again. He runs like Haaland.
I will. I'll watch it.
But what a good player.
Yes, definitely. And proving a force for Lee. Still not sure he was favourite for Man of Steel, but... You know, a good player.
We know, though, don't we, that the Man of Steel points are a bit skewed, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's more where it was coming from, wasn't it? Why he was favourite for it. You know, if Lee had a good season. Obviously, they are having a good season. So, you know, it's just a case of when he of him doing so.
Yeah. But, it definitely... I'm just showing... Sorry, for those that you can't see it, I'm just showing him that run now. Does he run like Erling Haaland?
There you go. His knees are sort of up by his chest.
Exactly. Anyway, well done to Lee.
Yeah, very well done.
Where are we going next?
We'll move on. Well, since we've covered all the other Friday games, we might as well stay with Friday and finish this one off with a scoreline not only not expected, but under the circumstances, even more of a shock, and that is Wigan 18, Leeds 40.
Well, it wasn't even expected at half time when Leeds were down to 12 men.
No, that was even worse.
Yeah. Zane Tetivano, red card?
No issue with it. Absolutely no issue with that one.
I've not seen anybody that's had an issue with it, to be honest.
No issue with that one. I know there's a few in that area of the game that need addressing. But with that one, it's clearly late. It's a shoulder to the head. There's no issue with that one at all. Those are the rules. That's fine.
He's one of those players, isn't he, that, like, we've mentioned them on the pod before for different teams. But he's one of those players that doesn't seem to learn.
Yes. He just doesn't. And players like that are always going to find themselves on the disciplinary.
Yeah. But Wigan, 14-6 up against 12 men. And 18 all after 60 minutes.
Yes, that's right. Leeds took the lead, didn't they?
So 22 points to nil in the last 20 minutes against 12 with 12 men.
Yeah.
That's some going, isn't it?
They did with, I think, was it three interception tries?
Yeah, two for Newman and then...
one for Tindall?
Yes, at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last play of the game, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, they threw three interceptions, didn't they? Talk about Harry Newman.
Okay.
Right. If you're not a Leeds fan,
mm-hmm.
he's quite unlikable, isn't he?
Yeah. He's... you almost want to compare him to someone like Jake Connor.
I totally agree. I mean, I watched the interview after the game on Sky. And even his interview, I'm thinking, there's a touch of arrogance there.
Yeah. His mannerisms...
More than a touch, to be honest.
Yeah, his mannerisms on the pitch, like his attitude when he scores a try or when a decision goes against him, he's a very angry person.
Well... He got to grips with Liam Farrell, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And then he scored one of his interceptions and put his arm out about 20 metres before he scored.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I think there's a place in the game for that sort of cockiness.
Yeah.
I think if you're a young player and you back yourself and you've got lots of skill, I also think that you have to have a bit of respect sometimes to senior pros and things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
But... I don't know, but yeah, but good player. I can't make my mind up how quick he is. He got the interceptions and didn't seem overly quick to me.
He didn't.
But is he still coming back to full speed from... He's had a few horrendous injuries, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
Has that slowed him down? Is that... I don't know. Or is it just me? Is it just me being overcritical there and thinking, am I not giving him enough credit there?
Possibly. But I know where you're coming from, and I don't know, maybe this is the same for yourself, but when he made his first breakaway, Bevan French was the one stopping him going towards the posts while whoever else was chasing him. Bevan French is the quickest player on that pitch and probably in Super League.
Mm.
Why is he not trying to stop him from scoring? You'd think if anyone was going to track you down, you'd think it would be Bevan French. So, in this instance, I know where you're coming from, because if Bevan French isn't trying to catch him, is he as quick as he looks, or is it just a case of, well, I've gone a different way, so I'll look quicker?
Maybe.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, yeah. But, yeah. Matty Pete, unusually angry. And yes. I don't blame him for that. Probably even so more so after the last 20 minutes when... You know, even more so after playing against 12 men.
Yeah.
But what a result for Leeds. Absolutely fantastic.
No, definitely.
I'll tell you what, and I'm not saying about this in Wigan and Wigan fans in general. I'm just talking about fans in general. If you'd been battered like that and then you saw one of your players absolutely having a giggle and a laugh with one of the opposition at the end of the game.
Just about to bring you on to this.
Patrick Mago.
Just about to bring you on to this, but I was just about to ask you this.
If it was a coach or a teammate, I'd be fuming.
Mm.
Roy Keane wouldn't have had it, would he?
No, he definitely wouldn't. I just, you know what? If you want to do stuff like that, I think you do it away from Sky cameras, you do it away from the crowd. You just go down the tunnel and you have a laugh and you have a chat with them out of view.
You could even stand outside the dressing rooms before you go in
and just catch up. There's no issue with catching. There's no issue with that. But when you've just been handed 40 points to 18 and you can visibly be seen laughing,
you're giggling away with the opposition with Reece Martin. I'm like,
it's not good, is it?
It's shocking.
It's not good.
I just don't know. It just seems like. It just seems a lack of care there, a lack of pride there, don't they? And I wouldn't be, I wouldn't be happy for any player that and any team that I support in ever doing that. I think it's shocking that, to be honest.
Especially when you lost last week, and now, because before the international break, you were top at league.
Mm.
Now you're 4 points behind Warrington.
Yeah, yeah.
You shouldn't.
Oh, I'd be fuming.
Yeah. I assume the way that Matty Pete was visibly upset, I assume he's probably said something. I would imagine, because Matty Pete at the best of times is quite stone-faced, isn't he? He doesn't let his emotions come out, even when they win.
Yeah,
he's very level, very composed.
Doesn't seem to go up and down and comes across really well.
Yeah, he does. So for him to be visibly annoyed,
he's not happy. You can tell.
There's a step up there. So that brings us on to our last game of round 12. It was the Saturday Channel 4 game, and it was Saints 26, Salford 12.
Yeah, first of all, pay tribute to our own tribute to James Robey. To play for not only 20 seasons, but to play for a top class team for 20 seasons as well, and hold your place in the champion team, especially as you get older.
Yeah,
I think takes some doing, and that's a magnificent achievement.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, even fans from all over rugby league, no matter what team you support, I think of no one really has a bad word to say about him, do they?
No, but he's. I mean, what can you say about him? He is probably the ultimate professional rugby league player, isn't he? I was watching the game afterwards, and I think it was Sam Tompkins himself, but you hear it all over the place about how for 20 years he's probably never gone below an 8 out of 10 performance.
That's right, yeah.
And I, do you know what? From what I've seen, I have to agree, because there is not many games where you say, oh, Robey was rubbish tonight. Mm. Robey did this wrong. Robey did that. He's probably one of the most consistent players you'll see.
He's that good. When he plays well, he's that good. You take him for granted. So when you look at man of the matches in these games on the telly where he's always on, for example, he doesn't always get a mention because you're just taking for granted that he's had that 8 or 9 out of 10 performance.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, fantastic. So well done.
Yeah.
It didn't help though. It didn't help St Helens having a pitiful first half, did it?
It was. It looked the way of the last few weeks.
Mm.
It looked like it was going to go very wrong very fast, and especially against a Salford team that can throw the ball around like they do. When they make two breakaway tries, you're thinking you're in for a long afternoon here. Yeah,
they had the attacking potency of Wakefield in the first half, really.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
It was shocking, and then they came out in the second half with a it looked like a completely different attitude.
Yeah.
Completely different mindset, completely different effort level.
Yeah.
And then adding to that, Salford's self-destruct button.
Mm.
But they ended up getting 4 tries in 12 minutes at the start of the second half.
They did. And it obviously the Sivinen one happened first. But this is where my implosion comes on Salford. And it's, you're 12-0 up. You conceded before the break, 12-6, 12-10 within the first 4 or 5 minutes of the second half. What is Reece Williams doing?
Mm.
Why are you panicking? Why are you passing that ball?
Run it out there, isn't it?
You've absolutely done Joe Burgess over.
Well, all the rest of the team are still getting back, so your job there is to take that ball as first receiver and take it up and get 5 yards or so and let the rest of them come back again.
And instead, you gift Johnny Lomax with a try.
Yeah. But I think just saying it's blitzed them, I think, second half. I think Salford will look at that, won't they, and think, I don't know whether they'll look at it as a chance missed or whether they'll just be more disappointed about their own performance in the second half. I'm not quite sure, but it ended up being comfortable in the end, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And, of course, Salford still looking for that first win in St Helens since 1980. So
incredible.
The record continues for
properly
them.
Properly jinxed there. Mm. Yeah. And then on the back of that, a couple of disciplinary issues again for Saints. Sivinen are banned again.
Yeah.
And Matty Lee's banned again.
Yeah, the Matty Lee's one is up for debate. I personally don't think it's a grade. The correct grading. I don't think it's a grade D. I don't think he should be banned for 4+ games. I can see the argument where if he doesn't do that, the injury doesn't happen, well, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they take the injury into consideration with the outcome, don't they?
But see, that again, you've not done that for 20-odd seasons. You've only made that up in the last couple of weeks when, I think, was it when Morgan Knowles got banned for whatever he did? They said, oh, will we take the injury? Well, hang on a minute, that never existed. Why are you changing that now?
Well, that's the rule.
Yeah.
And he breaks his ankle.
Yep.
And wouldn't have broke his ankle if Leeds hadn't knocked on and then gone in after him with a sort of silly swinging arm. I'm not saying that offence in itself doesn't deserve a grade D.
Mm.
It's a bit of a silly one.
Yeah.
It's probably a 10-minute sit-down, I would think, if that's the case.
Or a grade B if you want to ban him for one game. Two,
but then the outcome comes into it. So I haven't really got a lot of problem with it, to be quite honest, because if that's the rule, that's the rule.
Mm. And I'm not sure which one Sirenen got banned for. I know it was... I thought it was the Chris Atkin one.
It is.
It is the Chris Atkin one. Yeah. Well, in that case, then, that is absolutely ridiculous. I thought it was the one with the late hit.
On Croft, I think it was. No, it's the
Chris Atkin one.
It's the Atkin one.
Well, that is absolutely ridiculous then, because Sirenen only has eyes for the ball, and in my opinion, it's Chris Atkin that moves into Sirenen's path. What are you supposed to do in that instance? You're charging for a ball you've only got eyes for. You then look down and see a player in front of you. Your natural reaction is to push out of the way. Mm. Otherwise, you're going to go absolutely clattering into him, and you're going to both get hurt.
Well, either way, he's banned. And possibly comes under one of those players like Tetivano that we've talked about, doesn't learn.
Yeah, he's definitely had that experience in the past, but I think in this instance, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. However, he'll probably serve, I think, obviously, the league carries over, similar to international, it'll carry over into the Cup.
He'll be banned for the Cup
game. So,
back for the next Super League.
No disrespect to Halifax, but obviously...
They can probably cope without
him. Probably cope without him, yeah.
Okay.
So that pretty much wraps.
You're looking at buttons now, which one to press, aren't you?
I was, yeah.
Go on then, press the right button. Do it now.
It's Bobby's Stats of the Week.
Hello.
How many have we got this week?
We've got 6.
Okay, let's go then.
Okay. We are going to start in Australia this week. And after their win on the weekend, the Melbourne Storm have now won their last 13 games against the Brisbane Broncos.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We had a similar start to that with the Storm last week, didn't we, with the Bunnies?
Yes, they'd only... That was only the seventh win for the Bunnies, yeah. Yeah, a good team, the Melbourne Storm, though. It doesn't matter how many players they lose, they just seem to be one of those teams where they're always there, aren't they?
Yeah, although they did get stripped of all the titles and because they cheated for all 6 years.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know, they did Lance Armstrong it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Had to sell back
England. They got stripped of more titles than Lance Armstrong.
Stat number two, the Bulldogs have won more games in the last 5 years against the top four than of the bottom eight of the table.
Really?
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Quite like that one.
Yeah.
Stat number three, Leeds win over Wigan now means it's their biggest away win in Super League with 12 men. Not only that, it was also the first time since beating Wigan last year, 22 games ago, they've actually scored 40-plus points in a game.
Mm. Amazing. The whole night was amazing, I thought.
Mm. Yeah. So, in 22 games, so the last team they put 40 points on was Wigan. Mm. Which is keeping the record going.
Yeah.
Can they do it again this week?
Ooh. I think they'll get revenge this week, but we'll come on to that.
Yeah, we will do. We will do. Stat number four. So, for the first time since 1990, a father and son took to the field on opposite teams. Now, you'll have to forgive my pronunciation here, because I can... this is...
Are they Polynesian?
Yeah, probably. Okay. Honestly, I have no idea. And you'll know him, because he was in the Super League for Castleford a couple of years ago.
Go on, then.
It's Phoenix and Quentin... No, I can't even say it. You know what I mean, though.
I don't know what you mean.
Lolo to Togagiero. I don't know how you say it.
Lolo Togagia?
I don't know how you say it. Something like that.
Phoenix Logo Togagia.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean now?
No. But I do think you should have done more research in like trying to pronounce the pronunciation.
What am I supposed to do? Type it in on Google Translate? Even that wouldn't tell me. It kept coming up. Is this an error?
Give us them names once more. Go on.
No.
Phoenix and who?
Phoenix and Quentin.
Yeah, and what's second name?
I'm not saying it. Both represented Sheffield and Keighley.
Okay.
But not too long ago, they were playing together. They were playing together at Keighley. So.
There you go.
There you go.
A proud day for the Logo Goga Gears.
Is that how you say it?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just doing what you did.
All right. You're just as bad then, aren't you?
Yeah. Not my start.
Anyway, well, yeah. Anyway, there you go. Okay. You can have some. You can have a laugh at me for that one, but it's a very hard name to pronounce.
Okay.
And the last two stats are all coming in about the man we've just been speaking about, which is James Roby. Just a couple on Roby. Do you know how many players have debuted for St. Helens since James Roby made his in 2004?
Go on.
How many do you think?
200?
Ooh, a bit high, actually. 146.
Okay.
146 players have debuted for St. Helens in the 532 games that James Roby has played.
That sounds impressive when you guess too high, does it?
And I was kind of hoping you got a bit lower.
Yeah, a bit lower, yeah.
So there you go. And the second, and the last stat of the week, and the second one on Roby, is since James Roby's debut, Saints have played 626 competitive matches. In that time, Roby has missed only 94 games.
Wow.
Meaning that he has played 85% since his debut in 2004.
Good going at top level, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
going.
Incredible.
Yeah,
and again, just to reiterate, when most players say he's only been about an 8 out of 10 for 85% of his career, that's incredible.
And when you think about, particularly since Kevin Cunningham retired, he's played the majority of minutes in those games as well.
Yeah, yeah, he has. So. I mean, he played 75 on Saturday. Mm. Because yeah, Lussex was 18th man.
Yeah, he dropped for some reason.
He was.
Okay.
So there you go. There's me. Stats of the week.
Excellent. Well done.
And now we move on to this.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a spoon.
Okay, so time for our usual trip to the Land of Oz, and if you've got anything to say, just jump in. Storm 24, Broncos 16, Bulldogs 12, Warriors 24. Take that, Gus. Even though you've not... still take that. Panthers 48, Roosters 4.
Massive.
Hammering.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. They're coming back to the form, the Panthers, aren't they?
They are. And I think I might have even done it, but you tipped the Roosters to win the thing this year, and they've looked downhill, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's
about right for my tipping, but anyway.
You're still bitter about the whole thing, aren't you?
Very.
Stupid Scott Taylor.
Exactly.
Bunnies 20, Tigers 0.
Again, another team that's looking good.
The Tigers?
No.
Sorry, the Bunnies. Yeah, Bunnies now on top of the NRL ladder and getting stronger each and every week.
Just shows you who'd win a fight between a rabbit and a tiger. Don't underestimate it. That's all I'm saying.
Funny. Cowboys 42, Dragons 22.
Okay.
The Raiders 26, Eels 18. Eels looking a bit lackluster this year.
Yeah.
They were obviously grand finalists last year.
And
so
you mentioned the Dragons, and they've sat the coach then today as well. So
oh, have they?
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah.
Oh, they've been talking about that for a while, though, haven't they? Anthony Griffin's gone then. Yeah. Fair enough. Knights 46, Titans 26.
Terrible performance, but yeah.
But again, you remember my stat last week? That's now 5 in a row that the Titans have scored 26 points. The first team ever to consistently score the same score in 5 games.
You'd think you'd be winning at least 4 of them, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, you know the key to beating the Titans, don't you?
Just score 28.
Score 27.
Yeah. Drop a goal. Yeah.
Easy. And the Seagulls 14, the Sharkies 20.
Seagulls in a downward spiral.
Mm.
That thing about the fight, that reminds me about, like you said about the rabbit and the tiger.
No, you did, but go on.
Right. Who'd win a triathlon between me and a shark? Well, I'd get beat at the swimming.
But then the shark's got on the bike, so right, probably you.
No, I'm pretty sure I'd be good at the running.
Yeah.
So it all comes down to who's the better cyclist.
I'm going to go on you then, aren't I?
Well, there you go. So, take that.
Do you remember when Michael Phelps raced a shark?
Yeah. Yeah, I do actually, yeah.
Yeah?
I was a bit disappointed that there was a barrier between them. Sort of turned it off after that.
You should have seen Michael Phelps get eaten by a shark.
Yeah.
It's not Deep Blue Sea.
Okay, fair enough then.
And obviously the bye for this week was the Dolphins, so not a good week for you. No, one team not playing and the other one got hammered.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And if you would like to tune into the NRL, all games are good, of course, it's all rugby league, but the highlights for this week, on paper anyway, the Broncos and the Panthers, the Bunnies and the Eels. I know the Eels are a bit downwards at the minute, but it's a bit of a rivalry, that one, isn't it? They don't tend to like each other.
Mm.
And I've highlighted another game which could be good, the Dolphins and the Storm.
Okay.
Could be an entertaining fixture, that one.
Yeah, definitely.
And that just about wraps up the NRL for us.
Okay.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Couple of bits of news.
Yes.
This week. I'm going to go good one, bad one for this.
Okay.
The good one was the images that we've all seen, which makes a lovely change for rugby league to hit the front pages rather than anything bad on the back pages. And that was the image that we've all seen of Kevin Sinfield carrying Rob Burrow over the finish line at the Leeds Marathon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, brilliant image.
You know,
fantastic to watch.
And I think it said that he'd earned over Sinfield now. I think his race, he said, over £8 million.
For M&D,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Charities. And I know, Leeds fans have called him Sir Kev for years and years, but surely it should be official now, surely.
He's more deserving of most people that get that title,
absolutely,
don't they?
Absolutely.
He's more deserving of anybody that gets that title.
Yeah. Emma Raducanu who played good tennis for 2 weeks and got an MBE.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But yeah, no, he deserves that title, and I don't think anybody, not just in rugby league, I don't think anybody in any sport or any person watching that can disagree with that, because he's a
different class as a human being.
Human being and what
and a friend.
What a definition to what a friend does.
Yeah.
That is what a friend is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that was I would imagine certainly brought a tear to my eye. And I would imagine a lot more as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Followed by the bad one, which is the news that came out of France yesterday that the Rugby League World Cup in 2025 is now not happening in France.
Yeah, very disappointing.
I'm not going to... Do you know what? We're not going to talk about this too much. Do you know why?
No, go on.
Because We have secured a pretty much exclusive interview, if you like, over the coming weeks with John Dutton.
Oh, wow.
Who was the former chief exec.
Brilliant.
Of the Rugby League World Cup.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic for us.
Yeah, so I don't want to go on too much on this because these are some of the questions, obviously, that we want to ask John about his feelings about it as well.
Yeah.
So we've got to try and get a date in, but I've messaged him today. He's happy to talk, and we're just going to fix up a date when he can do it because he's got a new job now. He's head of British Cycling now.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. So he's so I'm going to speak to him through the week, and then we'll get a date when we can through all this.
Maybe you can ask him who would win between you and a shark.
Yeah, definitely. But I want to know, just for tonight, I just want to know, you know, who's to blame here?
Mm.
Is it the International Rugby League Board?
Mm-hmm.
As in, where's your cast iron contracts if this is happening in the next 2 years?
Yeah.
Where's all the assurances before now?
Yeah.
Is it the Rugby League Board? Is it the French government, as some would say, that they've kept the Rugby Union World Cup? They've kept the Olympics, obviously.
Yeah.
And there was comments yesterday about this not interfering with the profile of those other events.
Yeah.
Plus the fact this is the second host now that's gone by the wayside, because it was supposed to be in Las Vegas or whatever, wasn't it? It was supposed to be in America at one point for this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think the disappointing thing with hearing about the French government and that side of things, again, not to go into too much depth with it, but is that, you know, with the potential IMG takeover and stuff, you would probably imagine that someone like Toulouse would have the facilities to fit that category, you know, to come up through licensing. Mm. So you'd have a potential two French teams in Super League. But not only that, if you look at attendances at Catalans this season, they're selling out most games.
I mean, ironically, I think the club situation in France is probably the strongest that it's ever been.
Exactly.
In terms of development, in terms of people, of players coming through. But then there's all these other arguments about the international game that, like, we can't get mid-season friendlies right.
Yeah.
You know, we can't arrange any games. We can't arrange any tours. No one seems interested in anything but internationally. The NRL don't have any interest in it because they're all their top level rugby league after the NRL is all geared towards Origin.
Yeah.
You know? So, but I think both Australia and New Zealand have put their hands up, haven't they, about the possibility of holding it?
Yes, I think they have. From what I understand, England aren't bidding for it.
No, and I don't know whether or not then that Australia will get it, or whether it goes to New Zealand. It'd be nice to go to New Zealand. But I don't know whether some of the other island nations have got the infrastructure with the training facilities and the stadiums, etc., to host top-level teams.
I'm not even sure. I'm not quite sure. I could be wrong. I know New Zealand's quite a big country, but did they even have enough?
Oh, yeah, they've got, like, Eden Park and things like that.
Have they got plenty of stadiums?
Yeah, they've got stuff.
Oh, okay, fair.
But I think, I don't know. Yeah. There was the one in Tonga. Was that in New Zealand? Was that Tonga where Great Britain played? Was that where they played? It was absolutely full of red and white. Was that stadium in Tonga, or did they play in New Zealand?
I think it was in Tonga.
Right, so, I mean, there's, you know, obviously they've got
I think it was in Tonga.
So you've got different, you know, I think there's a 10,000 stadium in Samoa.
Yeah.
So I think it's possible. My only concern with it now is that it's only 2 years again now to organise the whole lot. And I think it might get put back a year.
I hope not. And I think, do you know what? I don't think it will. And I think for the reason, I don't think it'll get put back for a year, for the simple reason that if the Aussies or New Zealand do, you know, like, put a joint bid in, for example, and they say, well, we'll host it, I think they'll sort of pride themselves a bit of, oh, look at us, we can host a tournament in 2 years. They had a go at England for the way they ran there, for the way we ran the World Cup this year. And I've got a feeling they'll just be a bit, you know, a bit like, oh, yeah, look at us, this is why you should always have it here, because we're superior.
And the 2017 World Cup was excellent.
It was. I hope not. But
I just question the International Rugby League board role. I'm not quite sure what they do. I'm even more concerned about the future for International Rugby League, as we've touched on tons of times on the pod.
I know. It's a very big concern, and hopefully, maybe John Dutton can put maybe some minds at ease or be a bit more insightful in that kind of area.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have some really interesting thoughts, because I would have imagined for John that there'd be definitely some sort of like handover in place as that one finishes. A little bit like the Olympics, the torch passes over to the next event.
Yeah.
I would imagine that that handover work would be done with France, as a legacy from him.
Yeah.
But I'm sure John will expand on all that for us and give us his thoughts. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that'll be a really interesting interview, I think, for everybody to listen to.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So now it's time for this, and I am, hang on. Sorry, I'm just blowing the dust off the button.
Okay.
I'm ready. Okay. Substitute red corner. What have you got for us?
I'm not sure I can do it as justice as the angriest man in rugby league, but...
All right, go for it.
I want to talk about late hits.
Okay.
That is the red corner.
And which way are we going with this?
It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Right? It's a bit of a combination of late hits and the disciplinary.
Mm-hmm.
16 players charged this week.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be getting out of hand. And the stuff around the late hits is... somebody passes the ball and gets hit pretty much simultaneously in every single game of rugby league that I've ever watched in my life.
Right? Yep.
If anything, it's credit to the attacking player for getting rid of the ball. And more often than not, it's a centre or a second rower. Mm-hmm. It's normally happening as you go out wide. And they're getting rid of the ball to create numbers, to create an overlap, to create a space for the winger or the centre.
Yep.
Absolutely great attacking play. They've got rid of that ball before that committed defender comes in and takes them out. And what we're getting now is we're getting bans for players that are committed. They're less than one step away from that defender. What are they supposed to do? Watch to see what he does. You've got to be able to come out of the line. You've got to be able to defend. If that attacker gets rid of the ball, you are in trouble.
Yep.
Right? And I find that absolutely ridiculous. Now, if you come in and that player gets rid of the ball and you absolutely smack him round the head,
yep,
or you stick your shoulder in his face, absolutely no problem with any sort of ban.
Yep.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about players that are being tackled. And we're also talking about players that have been tackled that have not relaxed the body after they've got rid of the ball. Mm-hmm. They've not got rid of the ball. They're still in the motion. Their arms are still outstretched. And they've been hit. If you're a rugby league player, if you've played the game at any level and you get rid of the ball quickly, you're expecting somebody to come in and hit you. The only time you don't is when you've passed it, your arms have gone back down by your side, and then if you get hit, then there's that whiplash motion.
Yep.
Right? What's annoying me about this is that you're seeing this every game, and I think, and we're getting to the point now where somebody is getting banned, warned, fined, whatever it may be, and there's also a discrepancy there.
Mm-hmm.
That is happening now every single week. Plus, we have to wait until Monday or Tuesday to find out what's gone on with it, which, again, I find staggering, right? In a professional sport, I don't know why on that side that couldn't be done virtually as soon as those matches finish at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching the same video as what you've got on the camera. You don't need to be there in person to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Unless they're asking for a personal hearing. NFL, the American football, have a two-step rule.
Okay.
So when the kicker's there, or they've got it.
Yep.
If you're within two steps, then you hit him, you're okay.
Okay.
Gets rid of the kick, bang, two steps, that's it.
Yep.
So because it's classed then as being, you're already...
In motion.
And if you've played, you'll also know that you're playing at a fast pace. You're sprinting into him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you can pull out of. And sometimes if you pull out, you can do yourself damage.
Yeah.
You can get your knee twisted when you do that. You can jar something in your own body. Sometimes it's actually safer to take the player out.
Yeah.
Than it is to do anything else. And I just think it's getting absolutely ridiculous. And what gets me, I've spent about 2 or 3 minutes talking about this now, right? And we continually, you go on social media or whatever, after the weekend, what's the balance that you're talking about? Disciplinaries, late hits, bans. He should go for that. Yellow cards, red cards, referees, inconsistency. Whatever you're talking about. How much you're talking about that compared to how much you're actually talking about the action that you've seen? And we've seen, so in these games that we've seen this week, some brilliant tries. Some great attacking play, yeah. We've seen some implosions, but we've seen, you know, when I look at it, I can't add it off the top of my head, but 1, 2, 3, 6 games, all with at least 30, 40 points in. So you're talking there, we're probably near 300 points that have been scored over the weekend.
Yep.
Right? You're talking something like that, and yet here we are, all as I read, all weekend is about late hits, disciplinary inconsistencies. We're not talking about the games. We're not talking about the skill. We're not talking about the absolute finesse or the what a wonderful try that was or whatever. We're not talking about that. Every week we're talking about this.
Mm.
And I'm getting tired of talking about this because we've got an absolutely fantastic product that's being watered down by some of these stupid rules. I don't blame referees one single bit for this, really. They're backed into a corner with what they can give and what they can't give and how they have to interpret things. And you'll always get fans of, we're always the same, you get fans of every club that will say, that referee's against my club. That referee's, no, they're not. They're not. The professional people, the professional body, the same as the players, the same as the coaches, and they've got pride in their professional performance. I don't believe that they're against one team one single bit when it comes to it.
No, of course they're not.
And if we watch one team, you'll think, oh, he's give everything to them. Somebody at the other end of the ground will go, he's give everything to them. That's sport. That doesn't matter. It's not rugby league. That's everything. That's football. Might be rugby union, I don't really care. But like that, but that's like other sports. Everybody is like, that's not a foul, that's a foul. And, you know, every time the referee blows his whistle, he upsets 50% of the crowd.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed, 100%.
But this is getting, it's getting out of hand. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous, the situation that we find ourselves in with these, particularly with late hits. I could go on about other rules, I could go on about 7 tackles, I could go on about 6 agains, all this. But this week, it's about late hits. Rant over.
So, just to wrap that up then, apart from the obvious answer of how do we change it, are you saying that we need something like the NFL in a two-step rule?
One step, two steps, whatever it is. One step rule, two step rule.
Are you saying that what we spoke about, I think last week, about if the referee doesn't give it on the field, then unless it's a serious matter, it well, goes away.
Well, a referee in a touchwood would be able to see if that player was in within one or two strides if he's coming and tackled him after the ball's gone.
Yeah.
If they interpret that as a penalty, okay, you might think that's wrong in the stand. They might think that's right, but they're making an honest decision, right or wrong.
Okay.
Okay. But I'm talking about the bans that follow after it.
Yeah.
Because it's just ridiculous. Because how many times do you see somebody on the floor that's been tackled, not hit on the head, but they've got rid of the ball, they've been hit, and the penalty, they don't appeal for it.
No.
Only Richie Milers. They don't appeal for it.
No.
They just get up. Oh, it's a penalty. Nobody in the crowd think, what's that for?
Yeah.
And like, it's out of the blue. It's just nonsense. The game doesn't flow because of it.
Do you think, then, that this all comes from around this lawsuit that is currently coming in against the RFL against head injuries? Do you think they may be trying to overdo it to say, well, clearly you're wrong because clearly look at how much we're doing now? Or do you think it's just a simple case of, well, no, we've got to protect the players?
I think there's a little bit of both in that. I think it's a genuine attempt to protect the players.
Yeah.
But I don't see how you're protecting the players if it's not a head tackle.
Yeah.
I think there's, but I think as well as that, I think there's a duty to protect the game.
Mm.
As well as protect the players, which obviously I'm all for, but there has to be a duty to protect the game.
Of course there does. And, you know, like you've already covered, if you have played or even watched rugby league, especially if you've played it, you can't go out and put yourself in bubble wrap.
No, I saw an interview with James Robey after the game last week, and he said the players love the physicality of it. That's why they get involved. They've been doing it since they were 7 or 8, he said. He said, yes, I've been banged up, stitched up and all that. He says, but you expect that playing rugby league. So we all know what we're getting into.
Exactly.
And he said that last week on the telly. And I think there was a bit of a guarded comment there about the stuff that's going on at the minute, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah. But something needs to be done about, particularly about this instance, I think.
Fair enough. Well, that ended our substitute red card. You did a good job.
Thanks.
You did a good job. You were quite angrily composed. I was impressed.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I get used to that at work. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, I don't know if this will cheer you up or keep you angry.
Yeah.
But it's now time for the Predictions League.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Forward Podcast Prediction League with Sick
Again. And as always, I am delighted to say that we are joined from Bri from Sick Again. Bri, how are we?
New gentlemen.
New boys. I love the way that as well on Twitter this week somebody posted a picture of said Pingu, didn't they, with Bri's morning routine on it.
Hey, listen, Dean's got cameras in this house, he must have.
I saw something this week that Pingu had been cancelled.
No.
Yeah, apparently he's not, apparently he's off now, that's it, so.
Really?
Yeah. Bri, see you later.
See you later. Well, the winner of the Prediction League is.
Right. Well, talking of Prediction League, Bri.
Ah, don't you start, Mr. Gloaty Face.
No, Bobby, nobody likes a gloater, do they?
No.
See?
Gloaty, gloat, gloat, yeah. Gloat, gloat.
Right, Bri, hit us with the updates.
Okay, so we had a decent week, most players, a few who didn't. There was two spot-ons. There was one in the Wakefield v Hull FC game, and that was by me.
Hey,
and there was one, and there was one in the Saints v Salford game, which was Andy.
Hey,
fix.
Well done,
fix.
Yes, who's back?
Hang on.
Do you know
what? We don't do this enough, but it's his first one in a long time. I think he deserves this.
Hey, I've noticed that Bobby's pushed more buttons tonight than Callum. Well, he pushes buttons generally, but he's actually pressed more buttons.
I'm enjoying it. I like my little control.
Well done. Right. So what does that mean in terms of the table then, Bri?
Okie dokie. So the top four stayed the same. Leeds, Catalan, Wigan and Wakefield are staying in the top four. Callum moved up 2 to 5th. I dropped 1 to 6th. Bobby moved up 2 to 7th. Other movers included Huddersfield went up 2. Hull FC went up 2. And Andy, you were the biggest mover of the week. You went up 4 to 11th.
Think of that.
We had a few who dropped. We had 2 who dropped 3 places, Castleford and Salford. But Lee is still bottom.
Bri was like one of these old Radio 1 DJs doing the Top of the Pops countdown. Like that. And up 2 was... Oh, no, that's wrong one. Sorry.
I was going to say you... You need to stop. That's 2 tonight.
That's 2. Oh, no.
My day.
Let's just say Bruno Brooks or something, you know, like that. And up 2 to number 6. It's automatic, isn't it? And up 2 to number 6. It is. Right, jingle. Right, let's jingle jangle on. Sorry, Bri. Most importantly then, leaders, I think he's lead, isn't it?
Yeah, Leeds are leading Catalan by 12 points.
So how many points have Leeds got at the top?
216.
Okay, and let's pick somebody random. Let's just say how many is 11th place got?
Andy has got 174.
Tell you what, it's not insurmountable, that, with half a season to go.
Well, I believe the insiders were a lot further ahead of yourself and Callum last year, and you chased them down.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, well.
Yeah, but it's a bit tight. It's a bit tight from Callum in 5th. Well, maybe even Wakefield in 4th on 191. Mm. Down to Warrington in 13th and Hull in 14th. There's only a 20-point gap. Mm. So it's very, very close. When this week's highest points maker was Andy, I don't want to carry on about it, like, but yeah, he got 24, and the lowest of the week was 11.
Yeah,
you can make it up in 2 weeks, easy.
Not bad at all, yeah. So we're all about getting into the playoffs now, I think, aren't we? That's what we're all aiming for, top 6 to get in the playoffs.
We are.
So, brilliant. Right, we're good. Right, I tell you what, let's go through the Challenge Cup fixtures, shall we? Bobby, have you got them there?
I have, and we're going to halt your momentum in the Predictions League.
Okay.
Because, obviously, we break off for the Challenge Cup now. So
we are.
Before we carry on, didn't this happen last year? Didn't he go on a good run last year, twice before the Challenge Cup, and then the week after he...
It's because I get excited about the Challenge Cup. Right, go on, give us the fixtures, Bobby. Let's see who's going through to the quarterfinals. Bri, are you with us on this?
Yeah, let's go. Okay.
All right, your first game is the Halifax Panthers versus St Helens.
Okay, so Saints will go through.
I think Saints as well.
Yeah, Halifax had a good win on Sunday, but yeah, I do believe the Saints will go through.
Okay, next one.
Wakefield and Lee.
You'd have to say Lee, wouldn't you?
Especially on their form, I'm going to go Lee as well.
You'd have to, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be Lee, hasn't it?
Definitely. Your next one is Hull KR versus Batley.
Hull KR, obviously, I think.
Hull KR.
Hull KR.
Okay.
That ends the Friday fixtures. We're now coming into Saturday.
Okay.
Leeds in a repeat take on Wigan.
So can they do it again? I'm going to say no. So I'm going to pick Wigan to go through.
I'm going to say home advantage. I'm going to go Leeds.
Okay.
I'm with you, Bobby. I'm with Declan Leeds.
Next one is another Super League clash. We're going down to the south of France. We're going Catalan and Warrington.
Ooh, that's a toughie, isn't it?
Mm.
Catalan, do you know what? They've been playing well again lately. I think Catalan will go through.
Very tough to predict. But, yeah, I have to agree with you. I'm going to go, again, home advantage and the fact they've picked up their pace a bit. I'm going to go Catalan.
I'm going to go Catalan too, but I've got a point on this. Everyone that Andy says is going to do well in the league... awful, and everyone that Andy says is going to do bad in the league do well.
That's true.
Yeah, true. Your next one is both teams looking to bounce back. Salford take on Huddersfield.
You'd have to say Salford based on the way that Huddersfield have shaped up the last couple of weeks and what we've said about possibly what we think is going on in turmoil inside the dressing room.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go Salford.
Yeah, I agree. I think Salford have that capability to switch it on a little bit quicker than Huddersfield do, just in terms of their free-flowing style. So, again, I'm going Salford.
Interesting game, though.
Yeah, very interesting.
It's also on Via Play Saturday night. I'd say Salford myself.
7 o'clock kickoff, I think that. Isn't it?
How is it? Oh, yeah. Brilliant! Yeah. I'll be watching that then.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Oh, fantastic.
Saturday night viewing.
Yeah, Saint Halifax and the Salford game are both on Viaplay.
Excellent.
Castleford and Hull.
Again, another toughie, really. But I can't go against Hull after everything we've said about Castleford tonight. So I'm going to go with Hull.
Yeah, I think a few weeks ago when this draw was made, and especially when it was announced for the TV fixture, everyone pulled their faces and thought, well, what a dud game to put on. But in actual fact, with the way that Hull have answered the last three games, could be a little bit more entertaining than we probably thought.
Oh, I don't think it'll be a dud game.
No.
I don't think it'll be a dud game at all, but I think Hull will come out on top.
Yeah, I'm going to go Hull as well.
I'm going to go Cass.
And I was tempted to, yeah.
Okay.
I think Lingard might get one team through.
Yeah. And at least one Championship side will be going through to the last eight, because we finish with York taking on London.
York.
Yeah, I'm going to go York as well.
I'm going London, and I'll tell you for why, because York, the last two home games, have been pushed really close, and one was against London.
Okay. All right, so... So just a quick recap, we've gone for Saints, Lee, Hull, KR, bit of a mix on Leeds and Wigan.
2-1 Leeds it was.
2-1 Leeds, Catalan, Warrington was all Catalan. Yeah. Salford, Huddersfield I think was all Salford.
Yep.
Cass and Hull was all Hull, 2-1 on Hull.
2-1 on Hull.
And York and London, 2-1 on York. Yeah. So let's see how that shapes up.
Brilliant. Thank you, Bri.
Yes, thank you as always, Bri.
You're not
a problem, boys.
And I believe you're off to a Challenge Cup game this weekend, aren't you, Bri?
Yeah, I'm off to Halifax East St. Helens.
Brilliant.
Oh, excellent. Well, you'll have to enjoy that.
Yeah, you enjoy that, Bri.
We'll give him the best shot.
And as with Bri and anybody else, if you are going to any games this week, please stay safe, enjoy the rugby league, enjoy the magic of the Challenge Cup.
Dream of Wembley.
And we will see you all next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.